On this episode of the InsurTech Geek Podcast, talking about the dynamic intersection of InsurTech and life insurance with Dennis Lee from Amplify Life Insurance. The InsurTech Geek Podcast, powered by JB Knowledge, is all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. We'll be interviewing guests and doing deep dives into specific tech we see changing the industry. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech, so enjoy the ride and geek out. And we are back with another great episode. With me again, it's good to see him back on the show, my illustrious co-host, Rob Galbraith, the most interesting man in insurance. Rob, joining us from San Antonio. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man. Always happy to be your co-pilot. Sorry you had to fly solo a few times. So we can't always make it work out schedule-wise, but it's always good when we get a two-man crew flying the plane.
Absolutely. It is always about life's always better with a co-pilot. I agree with that completely, especially if it's you, buddy. Good to have you back. And also good that the temperatures are not the surface of the sun in Texas anymore.
Yeah, we actually can venture out of our homes. It's funny. It's taken me 25 years to recognize, hey, all those years in Michigan when I didn't venture out in the winter, that's the summer in Texas. Don't winter out. Just hunker down, stay in the AC, then start to kind of duck your head out when it turns fall, not spring. So it's kind of flipped, but yeah, I've finally learned.
Yeah, kind of flipped. It got so hot here this summer in Texas that you couldn't use your pool because the pool water was hot.
It was like a bath.
It was crazy. It was really crazy. It was like really hot.
You need to be able to have your spa go down to like 75, right? I mean.
Yeah, you actually, you know, in Texas, they sell pool coolers. I don't know if you know that. Actually, I did not know that. Your water off. Yeah, so you can have cool water in the summertime. I already spend enough money on my heater. The last thing I need is a cooler. With us from Western Massachusetts, near the insurance capital of the universe. He's a University of Michigan grad. This is going to be really interesting because he got 2 degrees from UMich. Rob Galbraith is a Michigan State guy. My daughter wants to go to UMich. I'm a Michigan summer guy. So I will say I've got gear for both schools, so I can be a chameleon depending on whose company I'm in. So I have the Spartan gear and Wolverine gear just in case, because I'm a neutral third party. I'm the crazy Texas Aggie. With us, Dennis Lee, Director of Business Development at Amplify Life Insurance. Dennis, what's up?
Glad to be here. Nice to see you guys. And I always like to start with a commonality. So I'm glad that we all have a piece of Michigan in us.
There you go.
We will have a piece of Michigan.
See, that's a good salesperson. You know, you're looking for the common ground.
And I hope I can get some of the warmth from the South, from you guys too. Now in Massachusetts, we're looking at low 40 already.
Yeah, it's going to be chilly. It's going to be chilly. It's okay. It's all part of the fall. You know, the crisp fall weather, football, barbecue, you know, all the good things.
Can't beat that.
We love talking about technology. We love talking about insurance. I tend, just so you know, Dennis, I was a tech first, then insurance, and then Rob was an insurance first, then tech. If I'm speaking for you, so we it's really cool because like Rob and I have been buddies for a few years. I've been co-hosting for a few years, having a great time on the podcast. But we come from like the two different angles. I've spent 2 decades building software for insurance. Have just under 300 employees that build, you know, custom software. We have our own proprietary off-the-shelf claims and policy software called Terra. Rob is a consultant, thought leader, advisor, book author, speaker, and spent, you know, decades in underwriting and insurance. Now, he and I are both primarily PNC guys, so we get really excited when we've got somebody from health, life, disability on, because we get to learn the similar things and the not so similar things between the two halves of the insurance spectrum. So just a little background on us, but before we talk about your company, I want to talk about you because, you did go to UMich for 2 degrees, but you came there from China. So tell me about growing up in China. Like where were you born and raised, and what do you want to be when you were growing up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Beijing, 20 million people. So very different sort of environment with, you know, towns and cities in the U.S. Grew up in a pretty typical intellectual family. Rob, you mentioned about your parents as professor in Michigan. My actually father is a professor. And the way I sort of noticed Michigan is because he did his postdoc there. So, you know, small world, there's always some connection between people and between places. But yeah, life in China growing up, it was busy. It was busy. It was a lot of studying. It was a lot of math. So the whole joke, you know, Chinese people good at math, you know, it's not completely groundless. There is a lot of emphasis there from the top down. So yeah, that was that kind of sums up my childhood. I like to have a lot of fun too, but we can save it for maybe after the show. Came here to the U.S. Came to Michigan because of affiliation, my family, because you know it's a good school because it has a lot of options too, right? So yeah, I don't really have insurance people in my family at all. And I know, you know, most people come across insurance from the family, from like the relationship, but I didn't. It was very coincidental. You know, I remember I met someone in my junior year in college talking about actuarial science to me, and maybe it's after a couple of beers, but it sounded pretty interesting. It kind of lines up with what I'm pretty good at, what I'm will be interested in, right? The business side of things and the discipline it requires to succeed in this profession. And also, another interesting thing at that time is that one really appealing part for actuarial science is how predictable the career path is, right? If you work hard, if you pass these exams, you will do great. You will do fine. So yeah, that leads me to starting the career work as an actuary for the first 8 years. But what's also interesting is after my priorities change, right? Having that predictability actually is no longer my top priority. So I switch my careers a little bit. I learned this new term called a lapse actuary, meaning that actuary who don't practice the science anymore. I thought it's pretty cool, a little inside joke, right? The lapse is a big thing when we do actuarial study in life insurance. So, maybe, you know, I'll take a quick break here, but that's sort of how I started my.
Sure. So, I mean, let's just talk a little bit, because that's you traveled a long distance. You went into an industry that you had no familiarity with. Right. I mean, your dad wasn't in insurance. Your mom wasn't in insurance. Like, this was a totally new. What was the big goal? Like, when you were getting started in your career, and you were graduating, you had your master's from UMich. What did you really want to do? And then what have you ended up doing? Because you're leading business development. You're leading sales.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's another, you know, that's quite different from maybe being a math nerd growing up in China and then coming over to the States. And, right. So what was the evolution there?
Yeah. So the thought process at that time is, you know, want to use these skill set I harness to just solve big problems. I think one thing that has not changed through my career is just wanting to solve big problems. Right. So at that point of my career, thinking about actuarial science, the framework I learned and how I could potentially just build cool insurance product. Maybe a little naive at this point, you know, at this point of time looking back, but that's a thought process at that time. So that also brought me, starting my career just with major carriers, for the first 8 years, working a lot of different functions. Now thinking back, it's really fortunate to work a lot of, amazing insurance business leader, got my hands wet, with a lot of a cross-functional project, made a lot of, you know, key decisions, help launch insurance products. So, these are all great. These are all the amazing sort of experience I look back, but you know, here's on one thing, right? On the other hand, I think I saw a lot of issues also with the big carriers. I saw how the decision-making process were, right? And despite a lot of these amazing talent and people, I feel like, a lot of these talents were handcuffed. if I can say more bluntly, right? So this is really what driving me to, you know, pursue the entrepreneurship in the a few years back. So just give you sort of a quick rundown. I started a B2B2C insurtech company, and you know, right when the COVID starts, actually didn't pick the time; it just happened the way it is. And the thesis at that time is using embedded insurance or embedded technology to make life insurance and supplemental health insurance available to mass market. We all know the underinsurance is a big issue. And, you know, my attempt was trying to use technology to solve that problem. Had a really good run, you know, work with different business entities, especially credit unions for a while, but had to make the tough decision to leave the company earlier this year and join Amplify now as a director of BD and partnership. It's been 10 months, but it's been you know, a lot of fun with this team and seeing the impact we're making this space so far. So here I'm at, you know, doing very different thing, but with that same sort of mission to solve big problems. It's just the context is still insurance.
Yeah, Dennis, I'd love to drill down on the lapsed actuary part for a minute, because I'm sure we've got, you know, listeners and viewers in our audience that either are on that actuarial career track path, are considering it, or maybe, you know, have gone a different direction. And like you said, my wife is an actuarial science major. I was a pricing analyst, trying to work my way on that track for a brief time and early in my career. And I think there's a misnomer out there, right, of certainly getting, you know, fully credentialed, having that career culminating and saying being the chief actuary at a you know, large to mid-sized carrier, of course, is a huge accomplishment. But I've seen a lot of folks that have gone maybe that non-traditional path that have had extraordinary success. And I always think that background that you get as an actuary, right, the thinking skills that you get, the deep understanding of the fundamentals of the business that you get, really sets you up, regardless of how many exams you pass, regardless of, you know, kind of where you go, right, for where you can go so many different places. So, you know, what was it kind of in your mindset? Obviously, you kind of started on that path. And like you mentioned, you saw some challenges, you decided to go in a different direction. You have that entrepreneurial spirit that I actually think a lot of actuaries have. They may be more risk adverse, right? So I'm just curious, kind of, maybe sure, you can share your thoughts just about the background as somebody that started their career in actuarial science, but then what those kind of, you know, off ramps, or what made you make the leap?
Yeah, I think actuarial background really fostered a few important sort of thought framework I have that you know, generates these new opportunities for me. And it really starts with the first principle, right? I think, you know, studying actuarial science, you really always ask why. Right. At least that's how successful actuary told me, you know, get to the bottom of it, because in actuarial science, you can basically explain anything as long as you drill hard enough. And secondly, it's that mindset of risk assessment, right? Because actuarial science is all about risk assessment, regardless it's for P&C or life. Right. So, you know, even when we get to business development arena, everything is about risk assessment. There's no like established playbook, right? In a way, there's a lot of overlap between, you know, building partnership and starting a company. You all start from scratch. You got to understand how to use that risk assessment framework. You got to, you know, choose the right metric to focus on. Got to be analytical. So there's a lot of overlap, more overlap than people would think otherwise. And last but not least, I think it's a discipline aspect, right? We all know that getting an FSA, getting a destination is a long haul. I know the record was what, like 4 or 5 years people complete all the exam, but that's an outlier. On average, people take 7 years consistently just getting through those exams, you know, while they're working, while they're taking care of their family. So just having that discipline also just opens a lot of door, I would say, regardless sales, business development, it's all heavily relies on being super disciplined and, you know, not being able to see the result really quickly, but, you know, more have a long-term focus. So I think there's again, there's a lot of overlap there, and you know, have the opportunity to go through this career path in the actuary really helps a lot in even the project I'm working on today.
Very cool. So let's talk about today. what's the project you're working on today, and what's the company, and what's it all about?
Yeah, so right now I'm with Amplify Life Insurance. Just to give everyone a little bit context of what we do. So we, the company is founded in 2019 by our CEO, Hannah Wu. She's an insurance veteran, so she didn't come from the tech space. She's actually in the insurance space, which I highly value, which we can get to the detail later. But she also had built a very successful agency prior to Amplify, and it was focusing on higher and permanent life insurance products. But she also saw the consumer need for cash value products in a broader basis, and really took the leap to start Amplify, with the mission to democratize or make permanent life insurance more accessible for mass affluent customers. So fast forward to now, we are the leading distributor, with a focus on helping millennials and Gen Xers build wealth using cash value products. And our focus is index universal life and variable universal life products. We have achieved really good growth, in the past many years, and the future looks bright for us.
Yeah, and the IUL and VUL and GUL, I mean, there's a lot of universal life products, index, variable, guaranteed, can be confusing, to say the least, for many. There's differences. Some you can choose the funds, other than you have limited fund selection, others you have expanded fund selection, but fundamentally it's and you're welcome to clarify this, but my understanding is it's an investment vehicle wrapped in an insurance product. So you have insurance, and then you have the ability to invest the money as well, and then
that's correct.
Yeah, and then you can also wrap it so that you can have floors and ceilings, so that you have some downside protection on your investments. Especially in IUL, I've seen a lot of index universal life products where you get some life insurance, you have some limited choices on what investments you can choose, and you also have a cap and a ceiling and a floor. So you're capped on the top returns, but you're also sometimes have an absolute floor where you can't lose your original principal except for the net of the commissions. I think the challenge in IUL products for a lot of people who are going to buy them is the commission loads. They can be pretty large. And so tell me kind of what y'all's approach to IUL and VUL is that's different than, let's say, like Pacific, who's a really big player in that space, or Northwestern Mutual is a big player in that space. There's a lot of big players in the IUL, VUL space. Like, what's different about what Amplify is doing?
Yeah, we're taking a fundamentally different approach in addressing the customer need using these two products, right? We always go back to the problem we try to solve for the customer. That's ultimately why they come to us, why they're looking for these products. And you're right, these are very complex products. And the trend we're seeing, unfortunately, in my view, that the complexity is increasing over time.
Yep.
Okay. So now the new product we're looking at, even as an actuary, I scratch my head. I'll have to go back asking expert in this arena, like, what exactly these new index means, right? Is it actually a registered product or no? And sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. So our approach is not to further increase this complexity. Okay. We think it's already complex enough. We believe that these products, if used correctly, already have immense amount of value. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's about helping customer really understand this, helping, helping the product increase its transparency, and leveraging our efficiency we have gained, a hybrid of technology and human, to achieve savings and transfer that value back to the consumer. Okay, so that's really at the very high level the approach we're taking, right? We want to build like simpler product, but make it easier to use for consumers. And in a way, all these saving we result can make the product more appealing economically as well.
Yeah, so you're selling this direct on the website.
Yeah, we take an omni-channel approach. Today, we're focusing, the key distribution is DTC, but we are, selling it through a different channel as well. And we'll expect that, the non-DTC channel grow in the upcoming years. because, you know, the thought process behind that is different customer have different sort of mode of contact, we call that, right? They might prefer different ways to start a conversation, or they have different ways to think about, you know, the problem in terms of, oh, you know, what do I do if I want more tax efficient saving? If I max out my existing retirement account, what should I do, right? So there's different opportunities that we can have our solution, you know, come across people's minds. So DTC is great because right now there's the market is still huge. A lot of people have these needs, but there's also a lot of other folks, for example, working with the financial advisors a lot of time, right? There's a big gap there because these universal life product actually plays a very important role in financial planning. And there's also other different embedded opportunity that we can work with other product and services that, you know, allow their customer, you know, see the value of these products and get policy if it's the right fit.
So to amplify, and I'll turn it over to Rob here in just a second. Are you guys a broker, an MGA? What are you structured as?
Yeah, up until today, we are distributors. So we are independent broker. We have access to most of the, you know, popular IULs, VULs, including advisory product, which is commission-free product.
Nice. Very good. Just making sure I didn't cover that in the beginning, and I should have. My apologies. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, Dennis, I want to bring in the technology piece of this because, right, I think we can all agree, right, these products are super complex, super difficult to understand, traditionally have been sold kind of face-to-face, right? This is the classic, right, insurance is sold, not bought kind of type of scenario. They're very important. I'm actually seeing that, you know, my father just turned 89 and is in need of some skilled nursing care. And so I've been kind of, you know, sorting through his finances in the last few years. And it's really, I think, just put an emphasis in my mind, having gone through that exercise of, hey, this is stuff, you know, I've got term life insurance, but I really haven't looked very closely at any of these permanent type products that are more sophisticated. And it may be a good need for you know, my family and our needs going forward as I kind of approach 50, right, mid-career or mid to late, I guess. So, so we know what's out there today. We know that Gen X and particularly millennials, right, and they're not buying life insurance nearly at the same rate that previous generations have. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. So as you're thinking about, hey, we launched in 2019, right, we have just right, a clean slate, I guess I'm imagining, as it relates to technology stack, et cetera, vis-a-vis like traditional companies, whatever. You know, how are you leveraging technology to personalize the products to make them more accessible, more personalized, et cetera?
That's a very big question, and that's definitely things we've been thinking about every day. I think it all starts with, you know, understand what a consumer want, right? Taking a consumer first approach. You know, this conversation of if we can sell life insurance digitally, I think it has been over, right? It started 5-6 years ago. There's a lot of attempt to fully digitize this experience, but we have just seen there are so many challenges there. Again, like you said, this product is so not bought for very good reason, right? So I think the thing we are really trying to optimize here is what sort of experience really will float the boat, what most of the customer want, right? What sort of hybrid approach? It has to be, you know, a combination of technology and human assisted, right? And it also has to be personalized. Right, personalized is a great way to build trust in the sales process. So these are the focus we have, and you know, one thing we do have that most other company or you know carriers or brokers don't have is we have a tremendous amount of data at this point. Data including you know customer experience, you know their preference of product based on their circumstances. So we start to have a better understanding of you know what product and what experience is right for specific people, right? And what problem are they trying to solve based on these model we built? So you know leveraging these very sophisticated. Machine learning model we built, the thing we're able to accomplish is to, you know, people are, first of all, understand the problem a lot more clearly, right? And then depending on their preference regarding like the mode of communication, we engage them in a way that's most conducive to them, right? Regardless of its agent or digital, we also simplify the purchase process. This has been a process. There has been a part that, a lot of emphasis has been placed in the past few years. But I think the first two part has to be addressed before we get there, right? So, streamlining the underwriting, the purchasing process, even after the purchase, we are working on solution that further that engagement. It's not, a one-time sales, right? There are ways, regardless if it's carriers or different part of the value chain, here we are a distributor, we can add value too, right? So these are all the things we're working on. And depending on the part of the process, some are more technology than people, but we believe a blended approach is a way to go, and technology can just improve the efficiency one way or the other.
So let's talk about the actual specific tech stack. Like what are you excited about in y'all's technology stack? Obviously you've got a web-based quoter, and it looks like you've invested a good bit of time and money into the user experience. You're doing a goals first application process where you say, hey, tell me about your life insurance goals. And then you're recommending products to them through a digital advisor. But, tell me about what tech you have that you're excited and what you're developing that you're excited about.
Yeah, I think the things we have that really exciting, that really help us stand out is sort of the things that's under the hood, right? Because all the experience you have just using our website is based on a lot of data, is based on a lot of learning, is a reflection of what we've seen from all the customer we engage. So it is a cumulative process. As more people come to engage with them, the better we can tell, this is the right product for you. And, this type of customer, based on what you provided us, is more likely to willing to go through a fully digital process versus have one talk to them. Or even like, how do they talk to them, right? With different ways, we can make them a call, we can set up a Zoom call and all that. So that's really interesting. And I think that's really highlight the efficiency gain we have achieved in the past few years. What's coming up that gave me really excited is really the whole end-to-end, like sort of the digital capable process. Not necessarily, everyone has to go through full digital, but just having that capability is something that's really cool. And we see, over time, people do tend to favor more of a digital friendly solution, right? And also that in-force management experience is also something that can be really exciting, because that really set us apart, not just, from the point of view of a company, but also from, the customer's perspective, right? Owning a life insurance is more than just having a piece of paper or a PDF document in your computer. That's something that you can constantly interact with, constantly getting value. In our context, right, since IUL, VUL are both products that involves, I don't want to use the word investment loosely, but involves cash value, right? So they are an element of active management, right? Especially VUL. Having people sort of engage or be active with their policy is something that, I'm really excited about, and that will, that's something we're working on in years to come as well.
Yeah. As we kind of approach the end, Dennis, I'm hoping maybe you can share a little bit more about what does that engagement look like? So we get it, right? You're going to sell me the policy. You've got me in, you've educated me, you've convinced me this is the right fit for my financial needs. Yep. Now I have it. Like you said, one of the areas that you're trying to differentiate yourself is that onward engagement. So is that more on the investment side? Is that more on a health side? Is that through gamification or virtual assistants, or maybe you can give our audience a picture of kind of what does the engagement either look like today, or what is your vision for the future?
Yeah, let's start from the top part of the journey, right? For a successful onboarding, meaning including the sales process, is about really educating the consumer the right use cases of these policies. Again, people come to us with different ideas in mind. Most of them are very valid. For example, to build tax efficient wealth in the same time, protecting their family. But some are probably not right. Right? Even for people who are misinformed a lot of time we can help them actually find a valid use cases, you know, that will help them in the long run. But in the rare cases, if that's completely, you know, life insurance is a wrong product, that's fine. We definitely want to, you know, be transparent there, you know, having built trust in the long run. So that's the really interesting part, right? How do we help customers who are generally do not have very, very high level financial literacy to understand these complex product in the short time span? Right. So that's engagement experience that we have been doing really well. Of course, there's a lot of room for improvement. But, you know, going forward, things that get me excited in terms of the future state of this product. And this is just my perspective, is that, you know, with the cash value products, as you build out your cash value, there's so many different things you can do. Right. Supplement retirement income. Right, excess liquidity in times that's needed, especially nowadays. Right, we look at the interest rate that has been skyrocketing just a year. So having these financial vehicles to have access to liquidity in a cost efficient way is becoming more important. But right, customers also need sort of a pointers in, okay, when is the time to use it? What's the cost? Right, should I take out, you know, a policy loan at this time? What should I wait? What's the consequences? I think these sort of engagement, again, it has an educational element in it, but more importantly, it's almost like a two-way conversation. Is that advisory support, but ongoing advisory support that can only be sort of accomplished by, you know, a hybrid of data and people. And of course, post-purchase is more relying on technology because of the data we are able to accumulate. But, you know, these are really the sort of thing that I think it will be a game changer for permanent life insurance and make it, you know, get the, we call the underserved market, which is mass affluent. These type of product historically are only available for affluent, right, or high net worth folks. So now, you know, it's available for mass affluent people, people like me, and, you know, my friends, a lot of them buy these kind of products now. You know, going forwards, having technology to help us even, you know, extract more value out of it to improve our financial health. Again, that's something that always gets me excited.
Awesome. Well, look, we are at time, but we really appreciate you coming on and talking about this with us. Really good discussion. Always good to keep our mind open, especially for those of us in the PNC world, about the technology and processes and new business ideas that are going on over in health, life, disability. And of course, this very interesting segment that happens to be extremely popular in Latin America right now, by the way. That's a very, very, very hot market for IUL and VUL products. Especially dollar-denominated IUL and VULs is very, very appealing in Latin America right now. So good to keep our eye on and good to understand what's going on there. And Dennis, it's really great to meet you. I hope we get to hang out at maybe meet up at the big house, go to a game.
I mean, oh, we would love that. We would love that.
Yeah, so I think, you know,
maybe so a little bit of craziness involved, but I wouldn't mind.
Dennis, how long after arriving in the United States did you fall in love with college football? I just need to know how long it took.
I have to be honest, it took a couple of years because the concept of football is not existing back at home. But until you really watch it once, it's an energy, right? It's an energy that is hard to convey. So, definitely looking forward to that opportunity. And hopefully, you know, we'll have some fun in Ann Arbor.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a great place to watch football. Kind of like my Texas Aggies. We have an equally huge stadium and it's a hell of an environment to watch football in. So hope we get to do that. As always, my illustrious co-host, Rob, thank you for joining.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Yeah. It's a tough season for college football, but I've got my adopted LSU now that my son's going there. So I can pick and choose to have between two schools.
Well, get ready for a lot of heartbreak. I grew up in Baton Rouge. I grew up a block off LSU's campus. And, you know, it's destined for heartbreak. Of course, you know, they hired Chip Kelly, which means they're destined for even more heartbreak. So that's what he does. He just breaks hearts. So sorry, buddy, you missed the Nick Saban and Les Miles years where they won national titles, or Ed Orgeron, where you had a raging Cajun head coach. You've got a you got a buttoned up in what Midwesterner for a head coach. So you got to wait till they fire him and get somebody else. Anyway, it's a great discussion. Thank you all for tuning in to Geek Out, our interview with Dennis Lee from Amplify Life Insurance.
Thank you for having me.
See you next time. Thanks.
The InsurTech Geek podcast powered by JB Knowledge, jbknowledge.com. It's all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. I've been your host, James Benham. That's jamesbenham.com with co-host Rob Galbraith at endofinsurance.com. And thank you for joining us today. Look forward to talking with you soon. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech. So enjoy the ride and geek out.